You're listening to Scratch Take, a podcast where songwriters tell the story behind their craft. I'm Jeremy Katzenstein. Savannah Gardner is a singer-songwriter based in Orange County, California. In this episode, Savannah unpacks how her obsession with the girl's unprecedented suicide led to the creation of her debut EP, B-Movie.
She's been coming here since she was seven. The same fake flowers wilting on the windowsill.
My name is Savannah Gardner. I started writing songs my freshman year of college, so I was 18. Yeah, I 100% did not believe that I was capable of being a songwriter. I've always seen myself as a singer, and I loved it more than anything. I did musical theater my entire life, but I did not know I had the capability or vulnerability of actually putting my feelings into words. And then I went to college and I wasn't doing really any arts-based things. And that eventually boiled up to a point where I just couldn't take it anymore. And one day I just wrote everything I was feeling and all the everything that had been boiling up emotion-wise in my journal. And I had brought my ukulele to school, and I just started playing whatever I had, just playing a melody to what I had written on the page. And after then, it just poured out. I couldn't stop. And I was finally like, it was like a little halo came over me. I was like, ah, this is what you're meant to be doing. It was a crazy moment, but best moment of my life. The first song, it was called Last Year. And I think, you know, anyone going into a new place or being in a new environment is just thinking about their past all the time and comparing it to what they used to have. And so automatically, I think everyone's first song is just about something from before. When I kept writing songs and it kept coming out, you kind of leave things on the page. So that was a way of leaving my past behind. And once you write it out, then you become to accept who you are in that moment. And writing was a way for me to do that. It was a way for me to move on. And I think that's why it's so important to me now, because it's the only outlet where I can truly be who I am in the present.
I've learned to live a life that expects a different outcome, but facing that is different. I keep waiting for the part all your teachers teach. Happiness.
Well, that's interesting that you ask that, because I think that is how I came up with the idea for my EP. There is this one story that my friend told me about from her university, where a girl our age, really seemingly perfect from the outside, had committed suicide. And I wrote about it, and I wrote a song called Jump that would later be on my EP. And it was kind of about what had happened to her, how she actually committed suicide.
They were tied with ribbons and shine like gifts around the tree. Perfectly wrapped with tags from mom and you and me.
I just couldn't get over it. I wrote the song, I performed it out, and I hadn't recorded anything at that point, and I would think about it every night, and then things started occurring to me. Like, I started seeing, you know how that happens when you you realize, or you write about something, or you read something once, or a friend tells you about anything, and then you start seeing it everywhere. It's like a weird number where it happens. And I would just keep seeing like newspaper articles or TV shows or movies that would be about depression and suicide. And like, I've had relationships where the other person had dealt with depression, and it stuck with me, and I couldn't get it out of my head. It's a long way up, but a short way down. She had the boys, the grades, the friends. I also thought, as much as I'm seeing it around in these little places, seeing this mental illness presented, it's not really talked about in the mainstream. And I know that like there's a lot of folk artists that I listen to, and like Modest Mouse and Mountain Goats and stuff, where they really delve into the topic more, but I haven't really seen it too much around. And so I wanted to write a conceptual EP about a girl like struggling with her will to survive. This is what she thought. Just a joke, nothing doing. Just a joke, I know I can do it. There's so much noise. Again, the story is not about me, but every song has what I assume most people have felt in their lives. I have a song called Fake on the EP, where it is about the girl, the character at a party, and just feeling so like everything is fake and everything is about impressing other people and nothing is for herself. And I think everyone's been there. I think everyone has felt alone in a room full of people. I feel like everyone has their really dark days where you can't change the way you think about yourself. We all like to look like we party. We all like to say we live in the dream. The chances are there's less to the story than what they throw on media streams. All you fake will finally break you. All you fake will finally break. I think that the ability to see how other people are feeling is a really strong tool when you're writing. And I think, I mean, I've seen so many people close to me suffering with this that I'm able to put my experiences, whether it be lesser or greater than another person's, into the story. And I think that my feelings are valid and everyone's feelings are valid. They're just at a bigger, smaller frequency. And once you try to connect everyone and connect humans in general, then you're able to understand each other better. And I feel like I've kind of picked up a knack for that and understanding how people live their lives.
I've been told to ask you where the name B-Movie came from.
B-Movie. Yeah, well, I love old movies. I really, really do. And I love like drive-in movie theaters, wherever you can find them these days. They're pretty rare. But in the olden days, whatever, not that I was part of them, but well, I wish. But whenever there'd be a drive-in film or a theater or even just in the cinemas, there'd be a short little black and white movie before the main event. And those would be called B-movies. And they were just short little narratives of a story, making a point or like a moral or a lesson. You know how they do in Pixar? They love doing those little morals of the stories. But I just thought it was kind of perfect. Like, my theme is kind of black and white for like my art and everything that's incorporated into the album. And the album's a short conceptual story, a narrative. So I thought it would be pretty perfect. Well, it's a good question, because when you first go in, when I first started working with the producer, it's all very broad. You know, it's every song, because we already knew going into it that we wanted it to be a storyline and a conceptual finished story and narrative. And so the only thing that we really talked about was, all right, we want this to be, you know, haunting, cinematic, theatrical, because it's a big story. But then once you start delving into all the songs, we realized each song was its own story. You could listen to all my songs and they could be singles. They don't have to be put together. You know, they don't have to be put together to make sense. And so when we went through the different ones, we realized, well, I'm also a musical theater background, or I have a musical theater background, so I'm very into the drama of everything. And so my opening song, Good Things Never Last, we realized that that was the only song where you didn't realize the character was going through these dark and deep things. And so we wanted our opener, like you say in a musical, the opening number, we wanted that to be the strongest one. And we wanted it to be cinematic and full instruments and climactic. And because it's the last place where you can see this girl is strong. Just because you have depression doesn't make you a weak person. And that's what I wanted to show. I am the queen. When we started realizing her path and realizing her story, we couldn't have the vibes be the same for the beginning songs, because she was at a different place in her life. And to realize that you don't want to live anymore completely, that you are done listening to any therapist, listening to your mom, your dad, your family, like, that is a huge, huge thing. And so we needed that vibe to be darker and more nostalgic and eerie, and then again taking it to the last song, Drifting Away, more the lullaby thing. It's, you know, after the fact of everything. It's after what happens after you die, after life. And so it kind of happened naturally, the progression of figuring out each song's personality. It started with just this broad, all right, we want it to have a climactic peak in the middle and go down like a movie, you know, that you can't do that when you're looking at everything individually. You can't do that with a person when you're looking at them. You can't decide when they're going to be happy, when they're not going to be happy. And so that's how we kind of approached this whole EP. We took different parts of her life and saw what the song needed by reflecting the way she was feeling. I climb to a
mountaintop and think. Thanks so much to Savannah Gardner for coming on to Scratchtake. Visit scratchtake.com to find a link to Savannah's SoundCloud page, where you can listen to her debut EP, Bee Movie. You'll also find a complete playlist of all of the songs featured in today's episode. And finally, if you like the show, make sure to subscribe on iTunes for more deep dives into the minds of songwriters.